Ohio Bell, the telephone company, presents The Ohio Story. Abahillel Silver started his determined hewing to the line of right as he saw it when he was 11. The descendant of four generations of rabbis, he was then living on New York's Lower East Side, where his father, Rabbi Moses Silver, had moved from Lithuania. The year was 1904, and all Eastern Europe was aflame with a series of pogroms. Young Abba Silver knew the situation and knew of the struggling Zionist movement, which insisted that Jews be granted a homeland of their own in Palestine. Zionism seemed far more desirable than massacres, so he organized the first Young Zionist Club in America. And before he was old enough to vote, the youth group idea had spread across the country and had started the development that later made it a factor in international politics. In the years that have followed, Abba Hillel Silver has lived to realize an international reputation and a lasting place in the Ohio story.
That was Robert Waldrop beginning another Ohio story, brought to you by Ohio Bell, the telephone company. Remember when the installer finished work in your telephone? Probably he said something as prosaic as, "Your telephone is connected." But what he really was telling you was, "Now the world is at your door." From your telephone, you can call some 40 million telephones in the United States alone, and most of the telephones in the rest of the world. And they can call you. Whether you want to talk with a friend across the street or across the continent, on a ship at sea or in a foreign land, you have only to lift the receiver and ask for the connection. Probably a great deal of your telephoning is done to keep you in touch with friends and to run innumerable errands, saving time, money, and effort by telephone. But whatever you want, this dependable servant is always ready, offering you a value infinitely in excess of the half cent an hour it actually costs you for average service. And now back to Robert Waldrop and tonight's Ohio story, The Silver Years.
When he was 18, Abba Hillel Silver moved to Cincinnati, where he enrolled in the University of Cincinnati and the Hebrew Union College, taking work in both schools at the same time. Thus, he completed 9 years of schooling in 4 years, and wound up valedictorian of his class. He was ordained at the admittedly tender age of 22 and moved to Wheeling, West Virginia, to head his first congregation. In 1917, a large Cleveland temple was looking for a new rabbi, and a committee of members of the congregation contacted 24-year-old Abba Silver. From the first, he made it plain that he would continue to let the chips fall where they might.
You are perhaps a little young to have such firm opinions.
Nonetheless, I do hold them. And when something needs to be said, I want to be free to say it.
We have no quarrel there. The temple pulpit has always been a free one. It's a point of pride with us. Just what do you think you will want to say?
I don't know exactly.
Don't know? Come now.
I know nothing of Cleveland. I can't tell you what I'll find there. But whatever it is, I wish to be free to take a strong stand for the right as I see it. That is a necessary part of religion as I conceive it. I want to build an institution of religious learning and social cooperation. It should be for rich and poor alike. And when the need arises, it should speak for all the people, not just those who are already powerful and need no defense.
I think you will be very happy at the temple. Rabbi.
Abba Hillel Silver came to Cleveland at a trouble-filled time. Late in the First World War and in the time immediately following it, the whole country was gripped in a wave of hysteria, strongly reminiscent of that which led men in Salem to hang witches 200 years earlier. It seemed that Cleveland was not far from going through a reign of terror of its own, particularly after May Day 1919 was highlighted by a bloody riot. A peacefully organized parade had been attacked as it marched, And it seemed to Rabbi Silver that the time to speak was past due, let the chips fall where they might. He broached the matter to Judge Bradley Hull.
It's the professional Americans, Judge, who will ruin America, if they are allowed to. The super patriots who smear red paint over everyone that dares say a word.
Liking the League of Nations makes you a Bolshevik.
And a kind word for labor unions makes you a socialist, complete with beard and bomb.
But they're powerful, Abba. Terribly powerful. They have a lot of support. They're respectable. It might be one of those things we can't change, but just have to live through.
And lose a fight by default? That's not the way.
Well, what is?
We'll take the case to the people. Show them that the minute they threaten any man's right to say what he thinks, they take something precious from all men. If you can stop someone now by calling him a Red, the time will come when you can do it by calling him a Republican or a Democrat.
If we had a forum ready-made, we could say these things.
We have a forum. We have the public square. And we have faith that men will listen to reason.
On July 7th, 1923, Rabbi Silver mounted a big stone block in Cleveland's public square to make the most of a tradition of free speech to all comers that had been in effect since Tom Johnson's day.
It is a sad day for America and for Cleveland when we must fight to make free speech possible. But that is the case. We've begun to lose the most precious of our heritages. When we have lost freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, we have lost everything. Perhaps you don't realize how close we've come to that. How near a man comes to risking violence when he tries to exercise these rights. It's not too late yet to save them, but it's a great deal later than you think.
For nearly 3 years, Silver and Hull, backed and aided by the Cleveland City Club, organized public meetings and forums on the square and in Cleveland schools. When they were through, Cleveland was well on the road to its present position as one of the most tolerant, intellectually free cities in the country. These same years saw Rabbi Silver busy with other concerns. His congregation outgrew its old home at Central Avenue and East 55th Street and built a new temple on Ansel Road, one of the finest ecclesiastical buildings in the country. The rabbi made sure it was more than just a building, too. He started a program of adult education and religious forums in keeping with his conviction that religion is best realized and applied by informed, mature minds. In 1921, Rabbi Silver successfully arbitrated a strike of 25,000 building trades workers that had tied up the whole city. At a time when labor's right to organize was seriously questioned by powerful interests, he spoke out in defense of the place unions occupy in a modern economy. It wasn't a popular course, even with much of his own congregation, but he stuck to it doggedly.
What I've said, I'll stand by.
Even if you stand alone?
Even if I stand alone. But I do not expect to have to.
You forget that many of your congregation are, if you please, capitalists, employers. The same people, you say, are trying to break unions. I am one.
I remember. And I also remember that this is a free pulpit in a free land. And I remember that any people who have a chance to hear all arguments will choose the right one. A decision based on false information is like a house on sand. It will never last.
Abba Silver kept on speaking his convictions. Sometimes Cleveland agreed and sometimes not. But in 1927, when he had been 10 years in the city, the whole community turned out to honor him and to applaud a speaker who compared him with the Old Testament prophets. Rabbi Silver never lost his early interest in Zionism. He worked actively for the cause all through the 1920s and was elected vice president of the World Zionist Congress in 1929. In 1943, Dr. Chaim Weizmann, who is now president of Israel, came to Cleveland to see him.
We will succeed or fail here in America, Dr. Silver. If we can convince this country of the justice of our case...
We've known that before.
But never as well as now. Time is short. We must take our chance now or lose it. Perhaps forever. And that's why you must arouse America, Dr. Silver.
I must.
You.
Abba Hillel Silver set out to sell America on the justness and necessity of a Jewish homeland. He assumed the chairmanship of the American Zionist Emergency Council and spent six long, exhausting years mobilizing American public opinion. Rabbi Silver helped draft the resolution calling for an independent Israel, which passed the United States Congress, and wrote the planks in the political platforms of both major American parties, which made the same demand. In May 1947, he represented the Jews of the world when they appeared for the first time before the United Nations Assembly, where he presented the case for an independent state of Israel. In November of the same year, the fight was won when the UN finally approved the establishment of the state of Israel, and as much as any one man, Dr. Silver, was responsible for the victory. Cleveland has grown to expect Rabbi Silver to hew to the line of right as he sees it, let the chips fall where they may. And in 33 silver years, the chips add up to an international reputation and a lasting place in the Ohio story. You may have noticed that telephone men and women are well represented among your neighbors. You meet them perhaps at your church or club or during Red Cross or community chess drives. Perhaps you know Betty, who graduated from high school in February and joined Ohio Bell as an operator. Right from the start, while learning, Betty was paid good wages, and her pay was increased regularly and automatically. What's more, she'll continue to receive regular increases until she reaches the top basic rate. Wage rates vary somewhat throughout the state, depending upon community cost of living and community telephone rates. But the top basic rate for operators in the largest city is $50.50 a week. And for night, Sunday, and holiday work, Betty gets extra pay. Of course, she has the opportunity to move on to still higher-paying jobs, as promotions are made from within the ranks. Betty also gets holidays and vacations with pay, and she has the protection of liberal benefit payments at no cost to her in the event of sickness, accident, disability, or death. If she elects to make a career of telephone work, she can retire as early as the age of 55 on a liberal pension paid for by the company. Good wages and good working conditions are all included in your telephone bill, but they're also reflected in the good service that Betty and all her fellow workers in every department give you every day.
Ohio Bell will bring you Robert Waldrop in the Ohio Story again Monday evening at this same time. When we talk about soil conservation among the farms of Licking County, listen Monday for Mort Hamilton, Plain Dirt Conservationist. The Ohio Story, brought to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this same time, is produced by Stuart Buchanan and written by Frank Seidel. Original music by Earl Roth. Rabbi Silver and Dr. Weizmann were impersonated. Until Monday at this same time, this is Tom Field saying good night for Ohio Bell. This is a special network of Ohio radio stations.